Psalm 119, please, if you would, in your Bibles. We're continuing our study. For those of you that have been visiting recently, we started this last December, not 2021, but 2020. Yeah, you say you guys have been stuck. No, there's just lots of verses to go through. So it's been our Sunday night series for the last 16 months or so, and we're getting down to the end. So if you look at verses 153 through 160, in a way you can kind of count down 3, 2, 1. This is the 3, all right? And we'll be on this for the next couple of weeks. And this is the Hebrew letter Resh. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read together these 8 verses, 153 through 160. Let's begin together in verse 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Here we are in the wonderful word of God. And we're looking at verse 153 in Psalm 119. And I hope that you're getting kind of I'm kind of getting excited to get toward the end of this. It's been a good journey, if you will, through the book of this chapter of the Bible, this longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. And we only have 3 sections left. So I want you to look at what David says here in verse 153. He asks God, it is a request. It's not a question, but more of a request. He's not telling God. He's not commanding him, but he's asking him. He says to God, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Now, David, in this particular attitude, he is not being overconfident. He is not being one that says, you better, God. But he is stating a fact. He says, God, would you please consider mine affliction and deliver me? He says, God, would you think about it? Would you give it some thought? Would you entertain the idea of providing me deliverance from my affliction? And then he adds to that request by making a statement. For I do not forget thy law. In other words, God, if you really need a reason to consider my request, I'm not forgetting your law. I'm doing what you asked me to do. I'm being the good boy today, or this time, or whatever the case may be. You know, think about your life. How many of you like to be rewarded when you do something right? Yeah, I mean, come on, all of you should just give some sign of affirmation there. I mean, yes, I mean, certainly we like that, right? We like that warm, fuzzy feeling, don't we? Yeah, oh yes, we do. How many of you like getting punished when you're wrong? Okay, no, not really. Yeah, no. Well, how many of you really like getting punished when you're not wrong? That's even worse, right? Yeah, that's not good either. No, but David says, God, I'm following your law. I'm not forgetting your law. Would you please consider mine affliction and deliver me? Now, how many of you would agree that that's fairly reasonable? Everybody okay with that? That's reasonable. And listen, are there going to be times of affliction in your life? Yes. Are they sometimes going to be caused by you? Yes. Are they sometimes going to be without cause? Yes. But nevertheless, affliction is affliction, and nobody really likes affliction, do we? Okay, if you do, see me afterwards and we'll have some time together. And we'll work out through your details. This is reasonable. But hey, Christian, are we not here sometimes in our lives? When we're just maybe in the deep of the night, or in our darkest times as far as emotions are concerned or circumstances are concerned, and we just kind of look up and we're like, God, consider my affliction and deliver me. I'm doing the best I can. I'm not forgetting your law. I read my Bible. I pray. I go to church. I tithe. I witness. I'm not perfect, but God, I don't forget your law. Would you consider? Just think about it, God. Just give it some thought. Give it a fleeting moment of consideration. Have you ever been there in your life? This particular case, this circumstance. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 33. I want to give you some examples of this in our Bible. As you think about this thing, and I want you really to take account of your life and how you've asked God to consider your affliction and deliver you. If you look at Exodus chapter 33 and look at verse 12, I only bring out one of these instances because if I read all of them, we would be here till like 8 o'clock and then you'd miss the nachos and you wouldn't be happy with me. There might be early chance of crucify him, crucify him. That's not till the middle of the month. We talk about that. Look at verse 12. Exodus 33. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight. Oh, I love this. And I know thee by name. Remember when he was caring for the sheep and that burning bush appeared? Moses. Whoa. God, you know my name? Yeah. He knows your name. Was this a reasonable request? Yes, it was. Moses was asking for direction. God, I'm not forgetting your law. I'm following your directions. I'm doing what you want. Will you show yourself? Will you consider this? He says, consider us, God. Think about us. Give us some time. Give us some thought. Be with us. Go with us. Give us direction. And if you don't go with us, don't take us there. God, we want you a part of our lives. I think David, as he was crying out to God and he was saying, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. He said, God, just know my name. Just think about me. Just give me a fleeting, God, I know you're busy, but give me just a moment of time. You ever feel that way? Moses felt that way. David felt that way. Others felt that way. Remember Joseph, he was forgotten in prison, cast aside by his brothers, lied about by Potiphar's wife, thrown into jail. The baker and the baker was killed. The butler said that he was going to remember him before Pharaoh. He forgot for 2 years. How many times do you think Joseph thought, God, would you consider my affliction and deliver me? We have those times in our lives, don't we? Those times do come. Let me put something in here just for you to think about. Not only should we call out to God and ask Him to consider us, but when's the last time you considered Him? David said, consider me because I do not forget thy law. So David's kind of saying, hey God, you consider me because I've considered you. I've considered your word. I've not forgotten your word. I've thought about you. I've been considering you. Would you consider me? In Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says this. It says, for ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth. And ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as great thing as this, or had been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, and to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day. And then Moses says this, and consider it in thy heart, that he, or that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Consideration. Consideration is one of those things that we don't have to do, but we should do. Does God have to consider us? And really, do we have to consider God? No. Do you have to consider your husband or your wife? Do you have to consider your children, your fellow church members, your neighbors, others, just strangers, anybody? Do we have to show consideration? No. What is it? It's a choice. It's a choice. Now, let me ask a different question. Should we consider others? And should we consider God? Should we, as the Bible says, preferring one another better than ourselves? Absolutely. I think consideration is kind of a lost art these days in our society, don't you? Because it's always me first, right? Let me think on myself first, and then maybe I'll give you some consideration. My children are somewhat competitive, and my boys are still learning about preferring their sisters rather than themselves. But you know, it's easy to have that me first attitude. You know, especially when it comes to the dinner table. You know, because we hand out portions to everybody, and they like wolf down their food. I think they just inhale. They just go, and it's gone. It's like, I gave you like, you know, a lot. Where did it all go so fast? And you know, their little sister is like eating one grain of rice at a time, you know, and she's got this little pile of rice and she's eating like this, and he's already going,
just wait until they're done and let's see if they want some more first before I give you more. I mean, you think you're taking away everything from them. But we need to learn to consider. Not only should we be okay with asking God to consider us, but when's the last time you considered Him and His Word? Just a few things that David says. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. In Psalm 9, David said, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. In Psalm 13, David said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. In your own time, maybe this week, I want you to go to the last chapter of Lamentations, Lamentations 5, and just read through what is said. I'll just read the first verse. It says, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. You know, when Jeremiah penned the book of Lamentations, that's what it means. It's a lamenting, a time of sorrow. They were being punished for their wickedness, for their turning from God. But if you read through those 22 verses of Lamentations 5, it'll open your eyes to the merciful, loving kindness and mercy of God. God is merciful. He will consider your affliction. And he will deliver you out of your trouble. Well, let's go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 154. First we said, David said, consider mine affliction, if you will, a light request. And now he goes on to say this, plead my cause and deliver me. First was consider mine affliction and deliver me. Then he says, plead my cause and deliver me. So now David's kind of ramping it up a level, isn't he? He says, God, would you give me a day in court? Consider me, right? Then he says, hey, God, would you stand up and be my lawyer? Huh? Plead my cause. Hey, who better to plead our cause than God? Who knows us better? Wait, maybe he shouldn't. Oh. Remember David said, oh, God, consider me because I do not forget thy law. Then he says, quicken me according to thy word. So David is banking on something that is unmovable to help him out in his case. The word of God. Oh, God, I'm not forgetting your law. God, quicken me according to your word. God, all I want is you to stay faithful to what you've said. I'm going to hold to it. I'm going to follow it. I'm not going to forget it. I love your statutes. I love your precepts. I'm going to meditate in them. I'm going to let them guide my feet and be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, plead my cause. David was a man after God's own heart. You say, did he tell that us himself? No. God said that. Hey, remember, we looked at David, I think it was last Sunday, we talked about how it was his testimony to Saul that he was one that was a mighty man. He was faithful to God. You see, David had a pretty good testimony. You say, but what about all the mistakes he made? Yeah. They're kind of glaring, aren't they? But overall, how did he do? Yeah, pretty good. Now listen, he's just saying, God, plead my cause. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. This is just one instance. This shows us the heart of David. What he really thought about God and the things of God. Look at verse 10 of 1 Samuel 24. You may recognize this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. David's talking to Saul from a distance. Saul's pursuing David for no reason. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in mine hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand. And I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea, the Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. Now you know the rest of the story. Saul admits that he is wrong, and he leaves him alone. But you understand, David didn't just rest upon what Saul would do. He said, God's going to plead my cause. God's going to take up my case. I know I'm standing righteous before you, Saul. I could have killed you. God put you in a place where you went to this cave. You didn't even know I was there. And all my buddies here are telling me, you got him, boy. He said, no. Not me. I'm not touching God's anointed. If God wants to deal with him, let him deal with him. But I'm going to stand here innocent. I'm going to stand here righteous. And let God plead my case. You see, the Bible has much to say about God being our intercessor. Remember in 1 John, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hey, you know, you see these billboards, right? The strong arm. The Texas hammer. You know, I got a better guy than that. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Put that on a billboard. Call 1-877. Righteous. Wouldn't that be a great law firm? I mean, come on. Now, he's the best advocate we have. Let him plead your cause. Let him quicken you according to his word.
In Micah 7, it says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. What better advocate? What better one to ask to plead our cause than the Lord? God wants to be with us on our side. If we will stay on his side, if we ask him to consider us, we should consider him. We should not forget his law. If we want him to plead our cause, we should be quickened according to the word of God, vivified, made alive again through the wonderful word of God. Let's go back now and finish up tonight. Look at Psalm 119, verse 155. Interesting statement in the midst of this. The first two verses, David starts out talking with God and requesting him to consider and to plead his cause. And then he makes a statement that I found a little peculiar, but it does fit. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Now, let's think about this for just a moment. We're looking at this section of Scripture. These eight verses stand alone as they're sectioned out by each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The first two verses of these eight, he says, consider my cause, mine affliction rather, plead my cause. So it's internal. He has affliction, needing deliverance. He has a cause, needing deliverance. And then he makes a statement. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. So far we've seen David make requests and justify those requests by the word of God. For I do not forget thy law. Quicken me according to thy word. The wicked do not deserve consideration or a pleading because they seek not thy statutes. They don't even deserve a day in court. They don't even deserve a lawyer to stand up for them because they are so far from God and his word. And David says, God, consider me. I'm close. God, consider me. I've been made alive by your word. God, take my case. Plead my cause. Deliver me from mine afflictions. Because the wicked and salvation is far from the wicked. They're far from your statutes. They don't even think about your word. They don't even think about your cause. They don't even consider you at all. They don't even want to know your word. But I do. I want to be close to you. You see, what is your attitude toward God? Are you far from God? Are you far from his statutes? Or are you close to him? The Bible says to draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to us. Or we're supposed to be in the word. We're supposed to meditate. We're supposed to focus. We're supposed to, whatsoever things are pure and just and we're supposed to think on these things. We're supposed to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. Do you care about being close to God? The wicked don't. You say, well, I haven't really thought about it. I'm not trying to paint you into a box. But it's pretty clear that the wicked don't want to be close to God.
So if you don't want to be close to God, just put yourself in the box, because that's where it goes. You see, that's harsh. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. These are some things to think about. As I look through the scriptures and I ponder these thoughts and why it was presented in this way. Look at chapter 1. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now that's pretty sharp, is it not? That's sharp. Does that sound like somebody that's described in the Psalms here, that the wicked, the salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes? Absolutely. Do not be far from God. Do not turn his statutes away. Do not forget his law. Be quickened according to his word. Be restored and cleansed from sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The wicked have no desire to be cleansed from their sin. You say, how do you know that? Well, take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you Psalm 7. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. God will deal with the wicked. They will be dealt with. Are you there in Psalm 9? Look at verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You say, God's merciful. God's forgiving. God's full of long-suffering and loving kindnesses. Yes, but he's also a righteous judge. He's a righteous judge. We need to remember that the wicked are far from salvation. Do we want to stand in that place of judgment? Going against God? Being against God Almighty? You say, oh, I'm not against God. I just don't always do what he wants me to do. Do what he says to do. A lot of times I ask my kids, why didn't you do that? I taught you to do that. I forgot. David said, "For I do not forget thy law." How focused are you on God? Are you close to Him or far from Him? Take your Bibles, if you would, one more place. Turn over to Psalm 10, just one page over, if you're still there. I want you to listen as you read through this. It gives a sense of how God feels about the wicked and the righteous. David says in verse 1, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief in spite. To requite it with thy hand, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of earth may no more oppress." You know, the Lord cares about us. Those who are called by his name, those that call upon him for salvation. We already read, if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David just simply says tonight, "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes." It's just a simple thought tonight. I want you to think about your life. Do the enemies and oppressors, the afflictions of this life, get you down? Do you think that God's not doing anything about it? He will in his time. Consider him. Let him plead your cause. Let him fight your battles. He's the one that will care for us. Don't forget his law. Be vivified, quickened by his word, and stay close as you possibly can to God and the wonderful word of God.